Star jump sequence terminates, Captain.
Get the gravitational dampers online and open the blast shield.
Aye, sir.
Bring us in closer.
Aye, aye, sir. Moving us in on sublight drive.
Extreme magnification.
Aye, sir.
The center of the galaxy. And there's our black hole.
The experience of a lifetime, Captain.
Let me put this on audio. You should be able to hear the magnetic resonance.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. The edge of time and space, where the impossible can happen. Welcome to the event horizon.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, whatever is relevant for the part of the world you are in. Indeed, welcome to the Event Horizon, where the impossible happens. Join us each week at this time as we delve into the worlds of science fiction, fantasy, and science fact in all their forms. I'm your host, Gene Turnbow. With me is guest host, Christine Cherry. And our guest today is Drew Selvin, who is the showrunner of
Comic-Con Revolution, Ontario.
Welcome to the show, Drew. We're glad to have you with us.
Hey, guys, how are
you
doing?
We're doing fabulous here. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
Very excited. Okay, well, should we start right off here, Gene?
Yeah, what have you got?
Okay, well, Drew, for all those people out there that are not aware of you and your existence on the planet, let's start with the basics, the whens, the wheres, and maybe a 30-second rundown on what everything is all about for Comic-Con Revolution Ontario.
Sure, absolutely. So Comic-Con Revolution is going to be May 17 and 18. It's at the Ontario Convention Center in beautiful Ontario, California. This is year 8 of the show. We started in 2017. We've been growing the show ever since. And this year's show is going to be highlighted by a Smallville cast reunion. We've got Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, Kristen Kruk, Erica Durance, and John Schneider. We've got a Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go cast reunion featuring everybody as well. We've got comic writers Chris McCallow. We've got wow.
That's a lot already.
Chris,
too many to name,
exactly.
Right?
Excuse me, I got to get my water. We have Mark Bagley coming. We've got some amazing wrestlers coming. We have Booker T, Mick Foley, Mickey James, Soraya, if video games are your things. We've got Master Chief Steve Downs. We've got Cortana, Jen Taylor coming. We've got Nolan North, who's Nathan Drake, coming. We have Phineas and Ferb, David Rigo, and Vincent Teller coming. So it's and that's just the tip of the iceberg. We've got a weekend full of programming.
You've got a bunch of print creators as well, don't you? Just comic book creators and writers and artists.
So just again, scratching the surface. I mean, Ron Lim is coming. Jay Lee is coming. Mark Wolfen is coming. Like I said, you name it. I mean, they're all listed. I can't think of everybody off the top of my head because
that sounds
too many.
Huge.
The one, Drew, I was most excited to see in one of my recent emails was John Barrowman. Oh my gosh, that man is a force of nature. He is the most wonderfully insane person ever.
And he puts on quite an event whenever he does a show. His panels are world-renowned, to not be cliche, but he really excites the crowd, and it's so much more than just sitting there and doing Q&As and listening to stories. So.
Oh, no kidding. World-infamous, too. He showed up at Gallifrey One convention a couple of years ago, pranced onto the stage wearing a TARDIS print dress, and the crowd lost their minds. They couldn't stop laughing, cheering, hooting, and hollering for 2 solid minutes. It was myself included.
I don't doubt it. It's like I said,
that's awesome.
He's a showman. He's in the truest sense of the word.
Yes. So my husband and I had started going to I'm just gonna call it CCRO for a while because I'd seen that's an acronym.
That's what we do.
Yeah. About 2 years ago. And
okay.
Yeah, we have a friend that lives out in Paris, and so we stay with her, and we commuted in. It's only about a half hour away, and it is a really nice venue. It's
thank you.
Not crowded. It's beautiful weather. It is just now. I've been in fandom ever since practically I could walk, and we used to do San Diego Comic-Con all the time, and I got kind of burned out on it because if you're familiar with the original Star Trek series, the Hall H was always like, well, not Hall H, but like just the dealer's room was like the planet Gideon, body to body, and it's gotten so, you just can't navigate it anymore, and I went from walking to getting a wheelchair to getting a scooter to having just calluses and bleeding feet there for the last couple of years. And I went, that's it, I'm done. And my husband was really kind of disappointed. I mean, if you want everything on the planet as far as pop culture, comic books, genre, whatever, that's the place for it. But it just gets to a point where it's too big and out of control. And that's what I valued so much about CCRO is that it's just so much more of, like my husband said, a relaxicon. You know, the programming, you don't have, you know, 10 rooms with programming going on all at once that you're dying to see. You can take it at your own pace. And the dealers are friendly. Artist Alley is friendly. Everybody there, it just, there is not the pressure and stress of going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Where the venue is spread out over 16 buildings. And if you want to see three things in a day, that's probably the best you can do because of the sheer geographical size of the place.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, at most. And thank you for that wonderful kind of plug of the show. You really don't need me if you're going to be talking that positively about CCR.
We're here to talk to you, you know.
No, I mean, we've all done San Diego. And listen, it's the epicenter of our world. It is the Super Bowl. It's the Rose Bowl. It's, you know, it's the World Series. It's the World Cup. It's all of it rolled into one. We're just happy to even be kind of mentioned in the same vein as that. And what we try and do is keep it, you know, a level of intimacy. So you really do have the time, whether it's with your favorite writer, your favorite artist, someone you've never met before in Artist Alley, whoever the voice actor might be, whoever the wrestler might be, you know, making sure you can get to multiple programs in a day, and that you're not burnt out, that you're not getting blisters and you know, your knees aren't swelling up. And, you know, we all want to be able to do it, but, you know, Father Time catches up with all of us.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we've definitely gotten to that age. I really have taken away some wonderful memories just from these past years. Adrian Palicki was there.
So sweet.
And
what a sweetheart.
She and her brother are the funniest combination. And after, you know, we hit their panel, we went into the fan table room and we're surprised to see them there. And we just got this moment to just talk to them for a couple of moments. It just was a wonderful experience. And then, what was it, last year you had Timothy Zahn? And it was the best timing because Ahsoka had come out and, you know, based on his Heir to the Empire and his Star Wars books, and that's just going to be so exciting. And then when they just started production on season 2 of Ahsoka, so he's going to be a wonderful one to get back in the next couple of years.
You know how she keeps her garden watered, don't you? She uses Ahsoka hose. Sorry.
it's a good one. I might steal it. So I am actually going to take credit for something. The idea to get Adrian, the panel being hosted by her brother, was actually my idea, and I did it with a chuckle. And I said, listen, if you guys aren't going to behave, I'm absolutely going to call your mother, and I'm going to have her calm down, because this is not, you know, this is not pick on your sibling. So we had a good laugh with that. And the same thing, I said, hey, let's ask Timothy if he'd be willing to host these Star Wars panels that we're doing, you know, because really his involvement and this character of Grand Admiral Thrawn, you know, came out of nowhere to us. And if you read these books back in the 90s, like I did.
Oh, yeah.
93, 92, whenever they came out, you know, Thrawn has been around 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, and now the masses are finding. So, like I said, it's just to have him be part of that and be willing to do that. And he was very excited at the prospect of it. So that really, you know, those are the little kind of extra things we try and do to keep the intimacy, to keep that family environment that we so cherish about our show, to do these things.
Yeah.
So how did you get started? What was the incentive or the impetus for doing the first show?
So I have two partners, James Ross and Mike Sigliano, and we all met in the early 2000s, working at Wizard. So we were doing Wizard Worlds together on different aspects. James was in sales. Mike was in programming and sales and a few other things. I was basically in PR and marketing. And, you know, you sit around whenever you work for a bigger company and you say, man, if I was running this, I would do this. Right, you know, if this was my show, I would do that. And we stayed in touch over the years.
You had the advantage of the insider's perspective, which a lot of people do. So gave you a big leg up.
Sure, learning on the job. I mean, and again, it was just a matter, you know, we stayed in touch over the years. And I had had a collectibles company for a long time. And when I sold that, I took some time to kind of recharge and do nothing. And Mike said, hey, man, we've been talking about it for the better part of 10 years. Let's do it. And I said, you know what? Now is the time. And this is leading into 2017. And he had an idea. He's like, you know, I know this kind of underserviced area. It's outside of L.A. There's a lot of people in the community. They've got a great convention center. Let's take a look. And we took a look. And in 2017, year one, it was a one-day show, just a Saturday. We probably brought in, 3,000, maybe 4,000 people.
Which for a first convention is huge.
That's
really good.
And we're really understaffed out there as far as venues and things to go to. The only other thing I've seen is like this tiny Star Wars convention in Riverside. And I'm sure they're as hungry for fanish activities out there as we are in metropolitan L.A.
Right.
One of the things that came up, must have come up, like right around that time, was Salt Lake City Comic Con versus San Diego Comic Con. Comic-Con International, and the trademark, and the way I understood it the last time I heard anything about it was that Salt Lake Comic-Con lost and had to honor Comic-Con International's trademark, and that conventions all over the country were paying them license fees for the use of the word Comic-Con. Is that no longer true, or am I working on old information?
It's not old information. I think that was specific to their show, just due to size and everything like that, because the name is still being used by numerous shows across the country. I think that was, and this is not any inside information that I have. This is more, from what I recall, that was really more of a direct competition thing between the two, because both shows are massive. I mean, both shows in excess of 100,000 people. So I think there was part of that, and they were trying to avoid confusion between the two shows. And there was some of that, because we've never heard anything like that. And again, there are many, many, many smaller shows that are still using the name Comic-Con.
And it's even gone worldwide now. I just recently found out there's a Comic-Con London.
Yeah. Oh, they're all over the place.
Yeah. Well,
globally, absolutely. Listen, the explosion of pop culture, I mean, we've obviously all been fans our whole lives, but, you know, when did it really kick into overdrive? And I'm not even talking about Star Wars. I mean, really, this is when Robert Downey Jr. appeared on screen as Tony Stark, the whole world fell in love with superhero movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Iron Man changed everything.
Uh-huh.
It completely changed the landscape of pop culture, of nerddom, of superheroes, of stuff like that, you know. And it just became incredible. Like, you know, even my wife, who has zero interest in this stuff, when she saw, oh, we should go see that Iron Man movie because, you know, Robert Downey Jr., yeah, I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, hon. Yeah. And we've been to the theater. We've seen all of them in the theater together. And, you know, she refuses to watch Endgame because she will not accept the fact that he dies. Because Tony Stark doesn't die. He's too handsome.
Do you know there are more than 30 films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe now? And it all started with Iron Man.
Yeah.
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 And, you know, when people, that's terrible casting, right? Because you don't know the character. Who was Tony Stark? He was an alcoholic, narcissistic billionaire. And, you know, this is not me judging Robert Downey Jr., but he clearly had trouble with alcohol. He was a bit narcissistic, you know. I mean, he had the look, good-looking guy. He grew the mustache. He had the sarcasm, the wit. I mean, he really embodied the character.
Yeah.
So it was incredible casting, and he launched a cinematic universe, like you said. It's got 30 films, and they're still spitting them out every year.
Yeah. So getting back to the convention, and you said it started around 2017. What about during the pandemic?
So in 17, we had the one-day show in Ontario. In 18 and 19, we actually expanded. We did a show in West Palm Beach, and we did a show in Chicago. So we were growing the company at that point. Obviously, everything closed. We were actually, I'll never forget this, we were on a plane out to Ontario that March. It was that March 9th or whatever it was of 2020. We were about to do a walkthrough. We had some, you know, meetings and prep for the May show that year scheduled. And we flew out there, and it was that night that the sports leagues were canceled and they started talking about shutting everything down. Mm-hmm. And obviously we had no idea. You know, we were kind of like, oh, well, this should be sorted about in about 2 weeks. Uh-huh. We'll definitely be back out here in May. You know, so yeah, I mean, we shut down. We had to contract the company. We had to keep it alive. We ended up having to get an SBA loan to keep us afloat for that time. And we ended up having to fold the other two shows and focus on the biggest show, which is Ontario. And we finally were able to bring something back in December of 21, I guess. Was it December of 20 or December of 21? I can't. It was probably December of 21.
Yeah.
So you were running red ink for a while then.
Oh, 100%. We absolutely were, you know, and you know, we're happy to be paying it back now because it kept us afloat. But then we had a December show, and then we came right back again in May, and then we were back on track. So we had shows 17, 18, 19. The 20 show got canceled. We did, I guess it was 21. And then 22, So, you know, that was really it. But yeah, I mean, it eliminated a ton of shows, smaller shows that were out there that couldn't survive.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. You know, I mean, again, the world had never seen anything like that. So.
Yeah. Survival of the fittest. That's for sure. Like you were saying, some of the herd got thinned out, but I think the best survived and were able to thrive. So I wanted to touch on a couple of things that I found kind of unique for your convention that we really like. When you first come up to the convention center, you know, you park across the street and you go up to the front. There are all these movie cars, and that is the coolest thing. How did that become a thing?
So the star cars, I think that's a great aspect. You know, to me, the show starts when you park your car.
Yeah.
You know, that whole idea of walking up and looking at the line and whatever, but it's kind of like the entrance to the queue at your favorite amusement park ride. There's a little something to do to get you excited.
Yeah.
And that's really where the idea stemmed from. And, you know, the people who do these star cars, it's a tremendous culture. And these are, you know, originally muscle car guys, but they're also pop culture lovers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they build all the replicas, you know, whether it's the DeLorean from Back to the Future or Kit. You know, or, you know, this year, because John Schneider's come, and we're bringing in a General Lee, and because Ernie Hudson's come, and we're bringing in an Ecto-1, you know.
Oh, my husband's going to love that. He's a huge, screaming Ghostbusters fan. And last year, I mean, it was so much fun, because every year it seems a little different. But last year, to see the evil clown car from Twisted Metal, I love that so hard.
You have
You know, we had Samoa Joe there. So we said, listen, let's do something fun. So again, if we can tie it to guests, it makes it even more fun for fans.
That's
it was that whole idea. What's everyone going to do the minute they get there?
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm just going to get my, you know, cosplay stuff checked, or, I just got to get in line to get in. So again, it's that you're immediately having fun the second you get there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the star cars came from.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a nice thing to, you know, come on out into the wonderful California sunshine, and you get to pose with the cars, and then you get to hit the food trucks. My husband's favorite is the habanero pizza. He's begging them to come back this time.
So they will be back this year, you can tell them. So
would you say that your convention has become a new media business hub? I mean, a lot of the reason professionals go to these conventions is to do business with one another.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great place for it. Again, whether you're trying to break in, whether you're trying to sell your book to the next level, whether you're trying to get your portfolio reviewed, whether you're trying to hook up with somebody you've been trying to track down via email or on the phone, nothing's better than face-to-face. We have a great professional program for passes for pros who are really looking to connect with other pros. And it's a big part of the industry. Yes, it's a huge consumer thing, but if the industry is going to continue to thrive and continue to be successful, we need to make sure everyone's still networking.
Yeah.
You know, creators have got to be able to find each other. And if you know someone's going to be somewhere, it's a great reason to go to a show.
Yeah, it's great that you understand that and that you are actively doing your part to sustain it.
Yeah. So you mentioned Samoa Joe, and this is something that one of my co-hosts for an older show that we used to do on Sci-Fi Radio was so excited to find out that you have wrestling figures. Now, again, how did that come into the mix?
So the there's a tremendous crossover between the two genres in the sense that the actor, I mean, if you look at all the wrestlers who were appearing, The Rock was Black Adam. John Cena is in The Peacemaker. Samoa Joe was in Twisted Metal. You know, Hulk Hogan has played these superhero-esque characters. There's a crossover there, and the fan base is crossover. So the idea of being able to bring in, you know, wrestlers to these shows, it's they just go hand in hand. There are different comics related to wrestling. There's a whole, you know, kind of genre behind it. So it to us, it's a natural connection. It's a natural crossover. Mike Kingston, who is going to be at our show, has done a bunch of, you know, different wrestling related comics. And because of that, it's again, the crossovers are there. So it's just one of those things, you know, putting peanut butter and chocolate together and having a delicious dessert. So,
well, it certainly worked, and it's nothing I would have thought of, but that's why you're handling this convention and not me. So how have the membership numbers grown over the years? Like, what do you find, you know, was it word of mouth? Was it internet? When did you really start to pick up and gather steam for your attendance numbers?
Yeah, when did it snowball?
Yeah.
So I guess the snowball, we've been growing every year, you know, otherwise there'd be no point. But really, so what would have been our May 2020 show, we were generating our highest ticket sales ever. We were pumped. We were ready to make our mark. We were planting our flag, the whole thing. When we came back for that December show and people were chomping at the bit to get back out and try to normalize again, when we knew the tide was really turning in our favor, in the sense that coming out of what we came out of, we didn't know what to expect. And people came back in droves and they were so happy to be back. And then it also forced us to elevate our game, because then after that we said, okay, just coming back isn't enough. What are we going to do to separate this? What are we going to do to make this special? And then we latched on to this idea of bringing in full cast reunions. And a couple of years ago, we were the first show ever to bring in the entire cast of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, wow. The line for that was nuts. That, I remember that.
Yeah,
sold out before I even got there.
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was going to be big, but we really didn't even have a concept of how big. And then the year after that, we did all the Star Wars reunion stuff, and this year we're doing Teen Titans and Smallville. So again, there's really something, if you know, you got to find those really special shows for people. And finding a reason for them to say, you know what, this is not just a standalone. This is not just my one favorite something or other. This is really something that's going to give me a lasting memory. You know, having yourself in a photo with a cast of your favorite show or favorite cartoon or favorite video game, whatever it may be, that's something so special to people. You know,
yeah.
I was trying to explain once to my dad. He's like, I don't get it. You know, why? What do people do with this stuff? And I'm like, well, Dad, let me ask you a question. You grew up in, you know, Brooklyn in the 50s and whatever. I said, if you had a Mickey Mantle card or, you know, a Joe DiMaggio card, I'm like, what does that mean to you? He's like, oh, they were my favorite player. And I was like, right. But it's just a cardboard picture of somebody. I said, this is the same thing. It's just not sports. So to you, this wasn't cool. Now, this is incredibly cool. I said, you know, regardless of what your genre is, the first part of the word fanatic is F-A-N, which is fan.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really, it's whatever means something to you and makes you happy. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's the memories, the being able to meet them in person and have that moment with them is something that is so special to us as human beings. It's the experience of living, not just being behind a computer, you know, watching their shows or having that piece of memorabilia. You know, it's going to a convention, having it signed, you know, seeing their reactions. it just really lends something to the interactivity of, you know, our vanished pursuits. And I love seeing the newest generation. I love seeing the little ones running around costumes. That's so adorable.
Yeah. I mean, I have two daughters. The one who's graduating college, I have completely – she is sucked in. She's 22. And the fact that Phineas and Ferb are going to be there, you'd think she's 8 years old. I mean, she cannot be more excited. Last year we had Dee Bradley Baker. She got to meet Perry the Platypus. So again, you know, on a personal level, watching her enjoyment is obviously special to me. And there's parents out there, there's aunts, there's uncles, there's, you know, grandparents who are bringing kids to these things and watching that. That's a selfish thing. I mean, the joy that it's giving her is giving me twice as much. So
does she cosplay yet?
She doesn't. Not her scene.
One day.
But she'll have the T-shirts. She'll bring her figures, her stuffed animals, whatever it may be. A few years back, she was a big Justice League cartoon fan. And Fillmore was at one of our shows, and he recorded a voicemail message for her. And this is probably 2019. It's on her voicemail, and it's Jon Stewart's Green Lantern saying, "Avery's not around right now. She and I are out with the Corps saving the galaxy."
Oh, wow.
This is 5+ years later. She's 22 years old. This is still her voicemail message.
Really?
Awesome. That's awesome.
Well,
what a generous, man.
Might be time. So, but like I said, I think I'm in trouble because I think this year it's going to be impossible for her not to have a. So, Ferb, what are you and Avery going to do today on her voicemail? I don't think it's going to be the way around.
Oh, that's going to be adorable.
That's awesome.
So adorable. Yeah. So, what have been some of the more memorable stars that you've been able to book for the convention?
Well, we touched on a couple. I mean, you obviously mentioned Timothy Zahn. But, I mean, as far as comics go, you know, Chris Claremont has been an incredibly popular guest. We brought him out a couple of times. You know, father of the X-Men. Just – and the experience that he gives people when they show up is remarkable. He is so giving with his time. He's so generous. So he's incredible. Again, this year for me, the cast of Smallville is going to be something incredible. May he rest in peace, but we've had Kevin Conroy in the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he is also, you know, he's so many people's Batmans. That voice, you know, I am vengeance. It's nobody did it better. So he was truly remarkable. But, you know, we've had so many. You know, we've had Sam Jones. Flash Gordon holds a special place in my heart. A few years ago, we had Ryan Hurst. Now, my people say, oh, well, Ryan Hurst isn't that big of a guest. He was in a movie called Remember the Titans, which is my wife's absolute favorite movie. So I was thrilled to be able to introduce her to Ryan Hurst, who played a character, Gary Bertier. So like I said, it's not so much – it's all the little moments that add up because, again, it's something special to see it through someone else's eyes. And like you had mentioned about the families, you know, seeing a kid run up to somebody, and even if it's a stranger in cosplay dressed as – Darth Vader actually, I got a great one. This was at our West Palm show. There was a little young girl. I mean, she must have been 3. She was in the white Princess Leia, a new hope dress. She had the buns on the side of her head. She had no idea who she was.
Aww.
But she was walking around, and her parents told her, you know, just saying, "I'm looking for Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's my only hope." She had no idea what it meant. Uh-huh. So, you know, she's not even a celebrity. She's one of my favorite guests of all time. So, you know, like I said, there's just so many elements to it that make it special.
What strikes me about all of this is that unlike many of the showrunners of the really big shows that we have spoken with, you actually get it. You understand why all of this works, why all of this is emotionally important from a cultural standpoint and from a personal standpoint.
Absolutely. I get that impression too. You're awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys saying that. And I'm going to tell everybody you guys said I was awesome. And if they don't believe me, I'm going to tell them to find you guys. but no, like I said, listen, it has to be. I mean, I always say to people like, yo, whoa, you guys make a lot of money. I'm like, no, we do not do this for the money. I can assure you of that. I wish that was the case, but if you don't love this, this is not the place for you. You know, 2025 is about to happen. I have a binder this thick already for 2026, And I've got one about this thick for 2027, which is our 10-year anniversary. So we know we got to do something really special for that. So it's while this show's about to happen, I'm already like past this show almost. We know we have to put it on and but all the labor is done. You know, now we're here to just put it on. Everyone can enjoy, close the door on it, and then we'll take a few weeks. But, you know, by July, we're rocking and rolling and in full steam ahead for the future. So it's always looking ahead to that. But, yeah, we do it for the love of it. I mean, there's no other way to do it.
Yeah. And I take it you haven't scheduled in sleep for the next 2 weeks.
That's funny. No, sleep is a thing of the past. It always has been.
Yeah,
it's not healthy for us. But yes, I don't think anybody sleeps anymore in any industry. So
yeah, well, it's if you're doing what you love, then you know it's a trade-off. You know, the memories you create, the joy you make for other people doing this. You know, that gives you energy too. You know, if you're gonna put your life force into something, it's got to be worth it. You only get one shot.
Yeah, definitely. Whatever it may be, you know. Listen, if it was easy, everybody could do it. And I say that about everything, whether it's succeeding in work, in marriage, in, you know, writing a book, in reading a book, you know, in painting, whatever it may be. If it was easy, every one of us would be doing exactly what we always dreamed of. And we'd all have mansion and yachts. But it's not. And there has to be an element in your life where you say to yourself, I have to do this because it makes me happy.
Yeah. Something else that this is funny. My husband is a huge foodie, and he was noticing in the dealer's room there were food vendors, fudge, candy, beef jerky, old-time sodas. That's not something you see everywhere, and I know some convention centers frown on that. Was that something of an exception you had to get in your contract?
It's not an exception, but businessly, it's called a buyout. You know, and it also depends upon if the convention center doesn't necessarily – this is just specific to this. You know, other buildings might be different, you know. If the convention center doesn't sell that stuff, then they'll allow it. If they do, there might be a buyout involved related to, hey, you got to give us X related to, you know, beverages to have that. Yeah, listen, we are all human. And if you're on your feet for 2 days, sometimes you need a sweet treat. And then sometimes you need to match it with something salty. And I also happen to, which is terrible, but be a soda guy. So I need Wild Bill's on the floor as well because their black cherry is just too good.
Ooh, that sounds good.
But yeah, like I said, it really depends upon the convention center itself.
Okay. Gene, I'm kind of running out of ideas here for, you know, we've gone over so much so quickly here.
I was going to ask, the foundation of conventions originally, the earliest conventions, were science fiction books, starting there, and then comic books, and then it sort of evolved into motion pictures and television. How much of this flow do you see over the 10 years that you've been doing this?
Well, if you look at our show, and I know you guys have been there a few years. You know, if you go into our Artist Alley, which is in and unto itself, I feel its own show.
Yeah,
because listen, it's really important. I mean, the name Comic-Con isn't movie con, isn't it's the basis of it, and we like to feel that in this, you know, this show and really our Artist Alley is a love letter to the comic creators because we don't just put the up-and-comers in there. We don't put the wannabes in there. Put everybody in there. So if you are, you know, John Smith, who wrote his first book and he's trying to get it noticed, you're going to be sitting there next to Ron Lim. You're going to be in the same room with Chris McCallow, you know, with Mark Bagley, in the past with Chris Claremont. You're not segregated to an area where, you know, oh, no one's going to come see me. So I think it's an incredibly important part if you're putting on a show. Bottom line, you want to have a pop culture con or an autograph show, that's amazing. 100%. You should do it. It'll be phenomenal. But that's not exactly what we do. You know, we want to have that huge element of books, but we do want to have a pop culture element as well. But the comics themselves have to get their proper due at a Comic-Con. They have to.
It is the genesis of so much of everything else. It all starts with the writers, really. Wouldn't you say?
Listen, absolutely. I mean, I was having a discussion the other night on a podcast, and we were talking about some of the guests, and Marv Wolfram came up. And, you know, if you think about when Infinite Crisis came out for DC, I mean, at that point, Marvel was dominating. I mean, you know, really up here. But that storyline and what Infinite Crisis became, and the effects of Infinite Crisis are still happening. But, you know, if you don't know comics and you're just a pop culture person, you heard about Infinite Crisis on the WB television shows. So you don't know where it came from, but it's been around since, you know, the 80s. And if you think about that incredible Perez cover of Superman holding Supergirl and the entire multiverse behind him, it's so iconic. But, and, you know, the Endgame stories, Thanos, the Infinity Gauntlet, where did all that come from? It wasn't written by Hollywood. Those stories have been around, you know, same thing, and all the stuff they're talking about with Secret Wars. All this stuff has been around for decades.
I have a theory about Thanos. I think that that's not his name. I think that's just the operating system his glove runs on.
Listen, it might very well be. But again, this goes back to it. Like, you know, again, if you don't know these things, then you're like, oh, yeah, you know, Marvel came up with these great storylines. That's like, well, not exactly. You know, they adapted this stuff. Or whether you're talking about, you know, DC, I mean, you know, Superman's been around since the 30s. It's like, you know, if you think about how far back that goes.
Well, I mean,
we're closing in a weird way on Superman's 100th birthday.
Yeah, so, you know, wow. 87
That's
years
insane.
Old? 88 years old? Yeah, in another 12 years, he'll be 100 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, and you know, but again, you're talking about there are people out there who would have no idea that, oh, yeah, Superman's, you know, was been around since the 70s when Christopher Reeve put him on the big screen and we all believed a man could fly. You know, so like I said, it's just, again, this goes back a long, long way. And I think there's a lot of people out there who don't fully understand and appreciate that, to your point, Gene.
Well, like, for example, E.E. Doc Smith, the Lensman series, easily the genesis of the Green Lantern Corps, easily the genesis of the Jedi. You know, and that stuff was written starting in 1936, I think the first book came out. So there's the proof in the pudding right there.
Yeah, and I mean, and you've heard Lucas say it. It's like, where did he get, you know, some of his other inspirations? The samurai movies, you know, black and white samurai movies, and or, you know, the spaghetti western, stuff like that. So like I said, it's, you know, it just goes back so far. And if you don't know, you're really, really missing out. And listen, there are people who are never going to watch a cartoon. There are people who are never going to read a comic book. And they're missing out. You know, to each is their own, obviously, and different strokes for different folks. But to really understand and see where some of this stuff came from, it's truly remarkable. And just about how ahead of its time it was. Like, I'm really excited for Fantastic Four to come out because it's set in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And, it, you know,
oh, yeah.
What an interesting way to go with it. And hopefully, I mean, this is what, try 1,000 on getting a Fantastic Four movie correct. But I, you know.
I think this is the fifth one.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Yeah. I think this is the fifth time. I think the first Fantastic Four movie where they had Michael Chiklis as the Thing, that was great. I loved that. And then everyone they've done after that has been a stinkeroo. And now I think this, I think this new one, they finally got it right. They have the future as the 1960s saw it.
Right, right.
And I think that's the perfect tone for this.
Right, and again, that's the throwback. You know, again, this is when these characters are from. And listen, everyone's speculating that it's all going to cross over, and you know, it's a multiverse, and this, that, and the other. And I, again, I'm sure they're going to tie it in. But like I said,
They'll figure it out eventually. But in the meantime, we have something wonderful to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited for Superman as well. I'm excited to see what James Gunn does. I think David Cornsweet looks great. Listen, I'm a dog guy, so I'm excited that Krypto is going to be in it, whether you love the design or not, whether you think it's silly or not. you know, there's got to be a fun element to these things too. And I'm really excited to see how that plays out as well this summer.
Yeah. So, Drew, what do you have planned for the future? Is there anything in the works that you could share with us, or even some of just your ambitions, your dreams for where you can take all this?
Well, you know what? I mean, kind of hopefully the sky's the limit. I mean, you know, hopefully we can keep growing. We would love for the Ontario Convention Center to finally do this expansion that they're talking about. They've been talking to us about it for years. We've seen the diagrams. We've seen the little model. It looks amazing. A bigger building would mean more room for us to operate. You know, they're not going to build something the size of you know, San Diego or L.A., but, you know, what could we do with another 30,000 square feet? I think we could do a lot. We do have year 10 coming up. It's on the horizon. We're definitely going to do something special for that. We have an idea for our reunion for next year. I can't say it yet because nothing is official, but if you want to be a sleuth and do your research, there is a pretty big property that has a significant anniversary coming up next year. You know, maybe off the record when I see you guys in May, I can let something slip. You know what, that's kind of what the future holds. Would we like to maybe expand Revolution again into other cities? Yeah, we would. But, you know, again, it took us a while to get our feet back under us after what happened. And if we do it, we want to make sure we're doing it from a position of strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, there's a lot of guests to have. There's a lot of pop culture to share. There's a lot of books that have yet to be written. There's, you know, there's a lot of stories that yet to be told. And you know, we're going to try and share as much of it with everybody as we can.
Even I have a book I'm working on.
Look at that.
I've got it in third draft right now. My editor has it.
All right. I'm looking forward to taking a look. And I could say I knew you when.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been speaking to Drew Selden, who is the co-founder and showrunner of
Comic-Con Revolution Ontario.
And we have been having a wonderful conversation about showrunning and pop culture and all of it. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come be with us here on the Event Horizon at sci-fi.radio.
It was absolutely my pleasure. I love you guys, and this was fun. I look forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks, and you know, we'll walk the floor a little bit together and share some more memories.
Oh, super excited. Can't wait.
You have been listening to episode 283 of Sci-Fi.Radio's production of The Event Horizon for May the 3rd, 2025. Our guest this evening has been Drew Selden, co-founder and showrunner of Comic-Con Revolution Ontario, which takes place at the Convention Center in Ontario, California, over the weekend of May 17th and 18th of this year. This show will air again tomorrow, May 4th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and again on the following Thursday and Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern. After all of the airtimes have passed, you will find this episode and others on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbay FM, Pandora, Stitcher, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and on our own website at sci-fi.radio. If you have enjoyed the programming you have just heard, please consider visiting patreon.com/sci-fi-radio and becoming a patron of the station. We are listener-supported sci-fi and fantasy fandom radio, and your contributions go to paying our DJs, our production team, the writers for our Geek News website, our business operating fees, our music licensing, and they help us procure and maintain the equipment and other resources we need to stay on the air. We have been broadcasting continuously since 2009, and we are grateful for the support of listeners just like you. That URL is, again, patreon.com/sci-fi-radio. This episode is copyright 2025 by Krypton Media Group Incorporated. The Event Horizon on sci-fi.radio. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.